Church, would you bow your heads with me? Heavenly Father, speak to us by your Holy Spirit, that your truth may penetrate our hearts and transform our lives, in order that we may serve your kingdom and reveal your glory in the world. In Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Please would you be seated, my dear friends. Jason thought, with the public holiday approaching, he would invite his tutorial group, his former tutorial group, to an evening together. He thought a public holiday would be a good occasion to catch up with his former tutorial group members. So he sent out an email. The first person he sent it out to was Arthur, but he got no reply. He got a very enthusiastic reply from Michael. So Michael responded, why just the evening? Why not make it a half day? And I've got restaurant contacts and so forth. So it was a very enthusiastic reply from Michael. Now Charles said, yes, I'll come, but can I confirm later? Because I have other pressing engagements. And then the final person was Ben. Ben replied, I've marked out the date. It's been a long time since we've met. I'm looking forward to it. Do you need any help? Church, I just wonder, how many of Jason's friends do you think showed up? Based on these four responses, because I think we've all had experience giving out invitations, and sometimes you can guess who's going to come. If you're thinking one, I'm thinking that too. Only Ben, who marked out the date and said, it's been a long time, I'll be there. Jesus knew that people would respond differently to the invitation to God's kingdom. And he told a parable to get some important points across. So here in the cathedral and in this congregation, we are continuing our series on Jesus' parables on the kingdom of God in Matthew 13. And today we're looking at the parable of the sower. So if you could have your Bible open there, it's always helpful that as you hear the word of God, you can glance at the Holy Scriptures, take note of them. What is the kingdom of God? These parables are about the kingdom of God. What is the kingdom of God? It is the sovereign rule of God in righteousness and love over all creation. God's rule in love and righteousness over all creation. So what's happened is rebellious man had opposed God's sovereign rule and brought much hardship, injustice, oppression, and destruction into the world. The people of Israel suffered the same experience and were waiting for God's promised king to put things right and to bring in God's kingdom in one mighty sweep. That's what they were waiting for. That the Messiah, the anointed king, would come and enforce, if you like, sweep in God's kingdom. Now Jesus comes onto the scene, announcing that God's kingdom is at hand. He and the church after him is announcing good news. And this is the good news, that God's kingdom is present in Jesus Christ. God's loving, saving rule, that kingdom, that experience of that kingdom is available in Jesus Christ. So that those who repent of their wrong ways and put their trust in Jesus, to trust him as Savior and Lord, they enter into God's kingdom in the here and now. And there are many here who are baptized and who have this living relationship with the Lord. That's your assurance. There are some perhaps at this service and you're wondering, how can this kingdom be real for me? That God is ruling in my life and God's rule will come upon the whole earth. How can I have this assurance? And it's only through repentance and faith that you enter into the kingdom. In the parable of the sower, Jesus presents the kingdom as seeds that grow into a bountiful harvest. So in this parable, we are learning about how the kingdom advances. And we learn now that God's kingdom involves a passage of time. Many Jews expected the kingdom to be imposed by God firmly and suddenly. But Jesus, in saying the kingdom of God is like the one who sows seeds and the seed gets scattered. And in the end, from the good soil comes a bountiful harvest. He's teaching us that the kingdom of God works itself out through a passage of time. The coming of Jesus is not going to change the world overnight, the first coming. He plants the seed, and the seed must grow. God's kingdom begins in the heart. So when we come to verse 18, and he's now explaining the parable, that's what he's saying, the parable of the sower. Now, a parable is a story drawn from everyday life, but it has a deeper meaning. So for first century Jews, they would know about the farmer who goes out scattering seed from his pouch. It's an everyday story, but it has a deeper meaning. And the meaning Jesus points to is that it's about how you receive the word of God in your heart. So the kingdom of God begins in the heart. That, in fact, is the topic that I am speaking on this morning. The kingdom of God begins in the heart. And that is why, even though the church may be oppressed or persecuted or structures dismantled, this kingdom cannot be destroyed. And the institutions and practices do not have life if your heart does not belong to the king. The kingdom of God begins in the heart. What follows from that is that if the kingdom of God begins in the heart, then God's kingdom will turn upon the receptivity of the heart. How receptive is your heart to the message of the kingdom? That's the key point in the parable of the sower. The advance of God's kingdom will depend on how your heart and my heart responds. And so now Jesus will unpack that there is a variety of responses. This is to be expected. When you share the good news, you will get different responses. And he wants now to highlight the different responses that we will encounter. First, the hardened pathway, the seed that fell along the path. The path that people trod on gets hardened. So the seed that falls has no soil in which to grow. It just remains a seed. It's easy prey for the birds. But Jesus interprets, it's easy for Satan to remove the seed, to take away the seed. So these are the people who don't make a response, like Arthur in the story I told you about Jason's invitation. They just don't reply your email. They get the message, they get the invitation, but they make no response. Jesus says the message of the kingdom, they don't understand it and they don't make an effort to understand it. So it's just left like that and the enemy snatches away. The question I think is, why are some people so hardened in their response, or rather in their lack of response? They have no interest in the truth. no openness to revealed truth. We will encounter them. Maybe some of us started that way. No inkling, no desire for the truth, and perhaps no openness to reveal truth. But Romans chapter 1 highlights another reason why people can be hardened. They suppress the truth by their unrighteousness. They suppress the truth. So they are not interested in the new life that Jesus brings. They want Jesus to endorse their present life. I had someone like that during my national service. He was a sergeant serving in the same company as I was. And when I shared the gospel with him, he was in an illicit relationship. And because he didn't want to change, he just wanted his conscience appeased, he had no receptivity to the message of the kingdom. Hardened pathway represents an unresponsive heart. Jesus goes on. There are those for whom the soil is shallow. The soil is shallow because there's a hard rock underneath. And because there's a hard rock underneath, there's very little soil. So in the spring sun, the soil warms up easily and the seed germinates quickly. And because there's hard rock beneath, it pushes upwards without developing roots beneath. But when the scorching sun comes in the summer, it has no access to water, you see. And so it withers away. This is Michael. Very enthusiastic. Let's make it a half day. Why just the evening? I have restaurant contacts. These are people who respond to the gospel with great initial enthusiasm, but there is hidden resistance in their hearts. They're very enthusiastic, but they don't allow the message to penetrate to the heart. Again, if I may illustrate it, so someone who needed deliverance, he was oppressed by evil spirits, and the Lord delivered him. This is in St. John's and Margaret's many years ago, but I remember it vividly. And those who were wanting to follow him up wanted to instruct him in the scriptures so that he can develop the roots, but he was not keen. He just felt, I'm free, I can sleep now. And he was very keen to give his testimony. But when hard times came, and that's what Jesus says, when tribulation comes. Tribulation is pressure that comes from trouble. That's, you know, you feel the pressure because of the trouble that has come into your life because you're a Christian. Jesus says, when tribulation or persecution comes because of the word, you won't last because your heart is shallow in its response. There's a telling phrase there, no root in himself. Such a person has no root in himself. Meaning, as we think about the use of heart and himself, it doesn't penetrate the person inside, the real you. It doesn't. And because it doesn't penetrate the root, the roots don't go deep, it will not last. The word is, immediately falls away. There's immediate collapse. That's the person with a shallow response. The third is the thorny ground, the choked heart. And the choked heart, so this is the seed that grows. Okay, so there's a difference. This seed actually penetrates and it's beginning to grow, but it is choked by the thorns, which Jesus interprets as the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches. So, this is the person for whom the stuff of our everyday life on earth, the cares of the world, children's studies, health anxieties, work ambitions, getting your HDB flat, planning your next holiday, I met a group of Singaporeans on a Silk Air flight to Kuching. They were really a buzz. They all retired and they were talking about, you know, what they're going to do in Kuching. It was a golf trip plus a makan trip. I think you are familiar with that. Huh? So they're really engrossed. But they were very upset that they had to take a bus to reach the plane, you see. They thought Singapore is advanced to the point they can plan everything. Then you should use the Aero Bridge. How come we got to take a bus? So one of them said something which really rings in my ears. He said, I think Singapore is becoming regressive. All because they have to take a bus. I just wanted to describe the group to you because we could slide into that. That's what I wanted to let you know. Jesus is telling parables that actually they lower our guard, but then help us to see ourselves. And there are quite a few people, the word has taken root, but they no longer bear fruit because the cares of the world dominate them. This is a picture of competing loyalties, my friends. And then Jesus highlights another, which is the deceitfulness of wealth. So God is real. He's in your heart. But you don't grow in righteousness and in service and in fruit because you've got other things on your mind. You're preoccupied with other things. And one of those other things is how to be richer than you are at the present moment. It affects all levels of income. We just want to be richer than where we are at present. Money can't buy you happiness. I think many of us realize that. The Beatles put it, you know, so in such a memorable way, money can't buy me love, can't buy you love. And we lose the very essence of kingdom life because our commitment to Jesus is choked by our cultivation of competing loyalties. Other things preoccupy you. We come finally to the good soil. So the good soil is the understanding heart. Now the word understand, he understands the word. It's not just intellectual comprehension. So as we take Matthew's gospel, to understand something is to receive it, to cherish it, to submit to it, to practice it. So in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus also says, do not be hearers of the word, but doers, because it's by doing that the word gets embedded in your life. So this word understands is a comprehensive word. What it leads to is it bears fruit. That's where this parable ends. Verse 23, as for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it, cherishes it, submits to it, practices it. That's what it means. He indeed bears fruit and yields in one case 100-fold, in another 60-fold, in another 30-fold. So, the good soil receiving the word then bears fruit. Bears fruit in the sense of godliness. There's a change in character. And there is a life of active goodness. The phrase the Bible uses is doing good works. So if you receive the word with this kind of heart, your life will be marked by your good works. And J.I. Packer says, the highest form of loving your neighbor, the highest form of doing good works is to lead a person to salvation. To love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. Loving your neighbor as yourself is meeting his or her needs. And the highest form of loving your neighbor is leading him or her into this glorious, life-transforming, death-defeating kingdom. The word of the kingdom in good soil produces different yields. So there are some rich touches here. The degree of fruitfulness will vary from person to person. 100-fold, 60-fold, 30-fold. But it's all good soil. The increase, 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold, it seems to me indicates the blessing of God. It's gone beyond. It's a bountiful harvest. So I can then raise this point, which I believe is at the heart of this parable. The word of the kingdom, when sown in people's lives, although differently received, will ultimately yield a rich harvest. The word of the kingdom will eventually bear an abundant harvest. Let me summarize, and I can use the PowerPoint now. What's the main point, beloved, as you're here this morning? What's the main point of this parable? Main point, I believe, is that the advance of God's kingdom turns upon the heart's receptivity. The advance of God's kingdom depends on or turns upon the heart's receptivity. And we can apply it in three ways. It's the parable of the sower. That's how Jesus describes it. I believe the focus is on the sower. I want to invite those of you who are Christians. We are sowers of the kingdom. We are the one who bring the message of the kingdom to others. And the encouragement here is that it will, because there's good soil. Don't be deterred by varied responses. There will be an abundant harvest. God will do it in his way and in his time. So three things I believe we can apply as we go forward. First, be prepared for varied responses. So different kinds of soil, people respond differently. But secondly, be expectant of an abundant harvest. As you leave church this morning, God wants to use you because there are people in your circle that no one else can reach. They're not in church today, but they're there in your world. Family, friends, workmates, ex-classmates. You and I are the sower. Don't be deterred by varied responses because somewhere out there is good soil. And because of good soil, it will bear fruit. So share the gospel faithfully and then pray for good soil. I want to quickly tell you, God is bringing in an amazing harvest. That's his mercy. To pour out his spirit and prepare hearts to hunger for God and recognize the truth. I believe it with all my heart in his mercy. The darkness increases, but God responds. And although darkness is increasing, there's a harvest to be gathered. I saw it in Cambodia, far off from Phnom Penh, Svai Ring, about 2 hours' drive, a village. I had the best of hospitality, rugged conditions, no doubt. But there, St. Hilda's lay leaders are building an educational center to teach English. A retired Singapore administrator is going to head up to be the principal so that they can meet the needs of the people doing good works, giving them vocational skills, teaching English. But there's a church. It's like a chapel next to it. And I had the joy, beloved, of confirming 10. And several of them young people had come to the Lord. So this harvest is spreading all across the world. And we are praying for good soil. That's what revival, when you pray for revival, you're praying for good soil, rich harvest, people who turn to the Lord and then grow and become fruit-bearing. But there's a third application, and I end with it. Be vigilant in searching your own heart. What's your heart like today? Are you non-responsive? And if so, why? Is there a rock of hidden resistance that blocks your growth? Are there competing preoccupations that choke your growth? Do you want a heart that is like the good soil? Do you? Because if you do, Jeremiah 31 is for you. You can't change your heart, but God can. Jeremiah 31 says, I'll make a new covenant. I'll put my law within them and I will write it on their hearts. The springs of your heart, the desire for God, the surrender, the trust in God, that God's glory is high above all else. That's only the Holy Spirit can do it upon the finished work of Jesus Christ. Today is Transfiguration Sunday, beloved. Does your heart need to be transfigured? Are you content with where you are, or do you want to be good soil? Whatever your life cycle stage, that you are bearing fruit out of a loving submission to God's word. Because if you are, He's here. God to change our hearts. Good soil. Let us pray. We ask for the grace now, Lord. It's all your grace because some of us can identify with where we once were, hardened like the pathway, enthusiastic at one time, but no sustained growth. Or the word has taken root, but our life has been choked by the cares of the world, by the pursuit of riches. Lord, forgive us and change our hearts to be good soil so that we bear fruit for your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen.